So hello everybody, it's Michelle, and this is December 17th, 2019, and this is our third call in our practical application series. As always, we're going to begin in Shavasana, finding that quiet space out of which the best of our words emerge. So find a space where you can be undisturbed, close the door, tell your family members, people you live with, or your office mates that you want to be undisturbed for this time. And have the props nearby you that you need, a place to put your legs on a couch or a chair or a pillow or a folded blanket for your head. So now that we've been doing this for a little while, be ready with the props at hand so that you can allow yourself to be comfortable. Lie on your back. If you're not able to do so, then you can be in a seated meditation. If you're driving for this time, please pull over. Please be safe. So ideally, lie down on your back and just bend the knees for a moment. Close your eyes. Place the hands on your abdomen and just breathe here for a moment. Just centering yourself, hands on the abdomen. Feeling the breath. Maybe it's the first time today you've noticed that you're breathing. Feel the breath. Then use the hands. You can press into the feet to lift the buttocks and then take the flesh of the buttocks from the top of the buttocks and then down, bringing that flesh toward the heels, making space through the low back, and then releasing through the legs as you release one leg out and then the other. You can have the hand continue that extension through the legs. Let the legs be long. Let the legs relax so there's an external rotation of the legs. Baby toes drop to the floor. Rest of the toes follow. Let the legs be at ease. Then take your hands to the back of the skull. So fingers on the back of the skull and just extend through the back of the neck. So make the back of the neck long and then release the head onto the props. Hopefully you've got a folded blanket. Could be a pillow as well, just something to support the head so that the chin is lower than or at least level with the forehead. Make sure that that prop touches the shoulders but does not go beneath. Your Shavasana will go deeper that way. Pay attention to the little details. When we do so here, we'll do that in our companies as well. We'll see things that we wouldn't otherwise see. Let the support touch the shoulders but not go beneath. Then bend the elbows, dig the elbows into the floor to lift and open the heart center, any amount. Open the heart. As entrepreneurs, we need open hearts. So lift and open the heart center here and now. The shoulders roll back and down, and then release the arms to the floor. And notice as you did so, often the head support may come away from the shoulders. So you have to kind of use the hands, try to keep the arms a little bit in place. That's what I do. Pull the support down and in. So you have to work these different parts of the body so that there's extension through the both sides of the torso. The chest is open, the shoulders rolled under, the head support in place, paying attention to how all the little details fit together. We do it here. How you do anything is how you do everything. Same in your company. How are the details fitting together? Then relax the arms, relax the legs, softly close the eyes. And just notice, are you holding anywhere? Is there tension anywhere in the body? We have habitual places where we hold tension, and it's so not necessary. And it's like a big energy leak. As an entrepreneur, as entrepreneurs, we want all of our energy gathered together for our lives, for our companies, for the words we speak, for the ways we connect with each other and the world. Are you leaking energy? Notice the spot where you're holding the most tension. And then let it dissolve with the breath. Breathe into that spot. And just notice that the tension releases just of its own accord as you're sending breath to that space, to that tense place. Just notice, be aware. Watch what happens as you breathe there. Find the next spot where you're holding tension. Where's the next biggest place where you're hanging on? Is it the abdomen, the throat, the neck, shoulders, face, scalp? Maybe it's in the hips, the calves, the feet. Where is it for you? Notice. Breathe into that spot. Let it go. Just let everything go. Let the whole body release to the earth. No need to hold on anywhere. Feel the breath. Exhale. Just let go. Let go of what came before this moment. Not needed now. Let go of what's to come in the rest of your day. Be here. Watch the breath. Shavasana is a practice of quiet awareness. Single-pointed awareness. Focusing just on this movement of this breath here and now. Hear the sound of my words. Let all else fade away. It's unimportant right now. Watch the breath. If thoughts arise, as thoughts will, it's the nature of thought. Gently, without judgment, let that thought go as unimportant right now. Your one-pointed attention comes back and back to the breath. In this place, the mind is receptive. In this moment, know that all is well. All is well. In this moment, all is well. Then allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso, feel the breath. Allow the body to move in any way that feels good. Bend the knees, slowly roll to the right side. Support your head with your upper arm and weight. Feel the breath. These transitional moments matter. Can you just be here in between one activity and another, fully present, lying on your side, watching the breath? No haste, no hanging on to where you were, no need to be in the next spot, just here, watching the breath. Softly open the eyes. Keeping the gaze toward the floor, use your hands to slowly press yourself up to sitting. Return to our virtual circle. As always, camera on whenever possible. It trains that one-pointed attention. It's one of the really important things that we're doing as we're here together. To speak focused words requires one-pointed attention. We practice it every single week. Hi, Jackie. So as always, camera on whenever you can. Hi, Yvonne. Hi, Dottie. Great to see you, Anne. Nice to see you all appearing here. Lindsay, Grace, Jasmine. Thank you all. All right. Sorry, I'm just pouring myself some water here. Well, I'm not sorry. Please hydrate. You're all hydrating now. What did you love in this Shavasana? What we focus on expands. Always paying attention. What did I love here? What did I love here? Somebody says something you don't want, but you'll notice something you love. Jackie, I saw your hand first. Anne, was your hand up as well? That was just a wave. Okay, Jackie.
Just the piece of it. My life has been really, really crazy. And the last week, I got in about 20 minutes late and didn't realize you did this. So I came on literally the first minute I was wolfing down something to eat, because that's the way it's been. But to lay back on the bed for just a few minutes and just center myself. So thank you for that. It's much appreciated.
Yeah. You're so very welcome. Whatever the day has been, to return to center, go into your next activity, what will be the difference in the quality of that activity? And it's not just its efficiency, we talked about that last week, I think it was, but its effectiveness. Mm-hmm. How effective will my actions be when I just take a few moments here to shift gears and find myself again? Thank you, Jackie, beautiful. Who else would like to share? What did you love? I saw you, Jasmine, and then Mary Kay.
Well, what I was really moved by was just that at the very end, that last piece, when you were saying the one focus and there's nowhere else to be. Throughout Shavasana, my phone, I could hear, and I know the different notification sounds for Facebook, 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 Facebook mm-hmm. message, Facebook message. And then right as you were saying the one place you needed to be and how we don't need to be anywhere else, I got two phone calls in a row and a text message. And so after getting out of Shavasana, I just turned off my phone. I didn't even check where it was. And it felt really, really good knowing that all of those messages and whoever's texting me will be there and I can take care of it afterwards. And there's nowhere else I need to be but here.
Fantastic. I love it, Jasmine. And you're, just be here, just be here. And then from my heart to yours, I can't help myself because I've been involved in this transformation of my life, more of this at deeper and deeper levels. I turn all those notifications off from my heart to yours. Strong suggestion. That's someone else's priority. Doesn't mean you won't tend to it when you choose during your day. But if we're tending to someone else's priority, what's happening to what matters to you? So try it out for a couple of days and watch your company and your life change. Watch the words that come out of you change, because if we have a mind that is like this throughout our day, even if we practice, Shavasana is a helpful balancer from that. But if there's 5 minutes of Shavasana and the rest of the day is like this, there's still a mind that tends to go like that. So I love first that you let it go, let it go, let it go. And then I would say next step, try it out. Who's willing to try that out? Some notification that you have on right now that you're going to turn it off. A notification you have on, you're going to turn it off this week. Who's willing to play? Strongly suggested. Fantastic. And then report back next time we're here, which is, goodness, not till January, right? And for practical applications. I'll see you if you're in the year long on Thursday. But so try it out and see what changes and connect with each other and notice a change. So thank you for that, Jasmine. I love that. Mary Kay, what did you love?
Well, this was an insight that came to me. I adjusted my body to be straight, and I closed my eyes, and I felt crooked. And then I thought I needed to be crooked for some reason. And then I realized I didn't need anything to be straight.
Wow, I love that whole journey. Really interesting. Being able to watch the mind and it's, you know, over here and over there, it's like straight, it should be crooked. I love that. And sometimes in Shavasana, this has happened in my practice too. It's like, well, I just want it to be perfect. I want everything to be just right. And then the whole time I'm fidgeting. I've had Shavasans like that. If you've ever had that before, if you've been practicing Shavasana here or elsewhere, raise your hand. Please, we never get there. This is my perfect Shavasana today. It's just perfect as it is. So Mary Kay's comments bring up that piece. It's so important in Shavasana. And that's like our perfection of, I've got to revise this and revise this and revise this before I can get that out there in the world, whatever that thing is, a product, a course, a talk, et cetera, right? Even networking, where I'm going to go, all those things, right? So it's good enough for right now. We learn so much as we do this practice, more than words can say, even if we're doing it every day for a year. There's more things that we're learning in this very simple practice. And that's why I like the ahas. It gives me another chance to give you another level of what's actually happening when we do this simple practice. And then the piece about feeling crooked or straight, when I used to teach weekly yoga classes, which I don't anymore, there's can't do everything in the world. And so I teach retreats, workshops, I teach virtually, I teach when people come to me. But I remember when I used to teach weekly classes doing this so often that people's heads would be like this without knowing. My natural place for my head, or my normal, it's not natural, is like this from writing and from marking papers at the university for a long time, and I'm left-handed, and, you know, learning to be this. And maybe you'll see me if I'm, you know, this happens to me. It's always this way, right? So learning this. And so people's heads like this in Shavasana, I'll come by and straighten them and they'll go, that feels really crooked because we don't know where our center line is. So with Mary Kay playing with straight and crooked, there's much to learn just in that, in these simple moves that then translates out into our companies and into our worlds. Love it. Beautiful. Thank you. Anything else burning to be said? Again, this is a different question than the other one. Anything else burning to be said without which we can't go forward? Is there something bubbling up inside you? It's like, oh, I got to share this. Good. Okay. So next thing I want to ask is a follow-up from our call last week. So last week we were playing Everything is Connected game with a basketball and a beach ball and a horse and an orange peel. And this is a foundational skill for every part of our business and every part of our words. Influence doesn't come from puffing ourselves up, being big, even having credentials or whatever it is, and speaking loudly, speaking softly. It's not about that. Underlying it all is connection. How do we create those connections? By training ourselves to see them everywhere. I can't help myself. It was unconscious competence until I started teaching it and learning that that's what I do. It's just how I've always seen the world. It's a core value for me, that connectedness, everything is connected. So how many of you played a little bit with that game this week? Did you go out and see? Did you get on a call with somebody? Did you see if you could connect things? Who played that game? Did you remember to do so? If you didn't, no worries. Yeah, okay. Let's hear from at least one of you, just a sentence or two. What did you notice? Who would like to share? I encourage you all to do this. You can do this over Christmas. You can do this at Christmas parties or holiday parties, whatever your tradition is. Who would like to share first? If you raise your hand, it's one of you. Anne, I saw your hand up first, Anne, so we're going to go with you. And if you also just raise your hand, then say yes to another time to raise your hand, all right? And go ahead and share with another. So Anne, let's hear from you.
Okay, well, we had an event at my barn this Sunday where we have Santa Claus comes and we give pony rides. And we had so many people show up. I think it's like the fourth or fifth year in a row, and it keeps growing, this event. And so there were all these children and families that I've never met. And I just kept looking in their eyes and kind of, thank you for coming. And Santa's over there and you can get your face painted over here. And then we just sort of, I'd try to start a little conversation, and it was so much fun. I mean, the whole afternoon, that's all I did. I had everybody working for me. So I just ran around and connected with people. It was great.
I love it. So making connections, love it, love it, love it. And thank you. And just everything, it's the foundation of our companies. For me, it's the foundation of our world, you know? So love it. I would love to hear from one more person. And did you work to make a connection? Like somebody's wearing an orange shirt and I'm wearing an orange shirt too. Or I can connect because like they do horses and I do basketball, but oh, there's a link between them because we both like to play. I just, you know, that comes to me immediately, right? To practicing that skill. Did anybody play at that level of practicing, making connections where there might not seem to be one at first? You meet somebody like my uncle who's a, you know, Alberta beef farmer. Doesn't seem like there's any connection. You know, he's a big time Alberta rancher beef farmer and, you know, not too fond of vegetarians. And, you know, like, and if that's you, no problem. It's fine. You know, I'm just saying, like, we come from different worlds, but there's all kinds of connections we can make around, all kinds of things, right? So did anybody play in that specific way? Raise your hand. Yeah, okay, Michelle, go ahead.
Hi.
And if you played a different way, don't let it go to your editor. Perfect. Anne, loved what you shared. I loved any time you're making connections. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Right? Don't let it go to that voice inside. This is another level to play. So go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah, I mean, it maybe not is exactly like that, but one thing that happened with me with a student, the session we had on Friday hadn't gone so well with her horse, and she had messaged me about it, and was, I could tell coming in, she was feeling like there was a certain defeatedness and it was stressful and stuff. And so I thought at first I would dive into what was going on with the horse, but instead I just talked to her about, you know, just general stuff. And, you know, I could just see her stressed about the holidays and everything going on. And so I tried to connect that with, oh yeah, well, I had family over this weekend too, I can relate. And we just sort of talked about different stuff for a bit and about how there was things that we were connected on as far as, you know, the way she was feeling. And then it just kind of like broke a bit of the feeling at the beginning. And from there, then we were able to talk about the horse and the harder stuff after that. So
I love it, Michelle. We're designed for connection as human beings. I mean, without each other, our ancestors wouldn't have survived. You know what I'm saying? We're designed for connection. And I love that. Like, so much more efficient to get to the horse when you've made that connection already. And I bet something in her, did you notice a shift in her energy? Did you notice a shift in how she was breathing? Talk to us about that just for a minute here.
Yeah, like she just seemed more grounded standing there. She didn't, yeah, like I knew there was things she wanted to say to me about her horse, but then after I felt like she maybe could say, felt more comfortable to say exactly what she needed to say, as opposed to being a little nervous to tell me about it or something like that.
Crucial. In the yoga tradition, it's satya, truthfulness. Without that, how can we get anywhere? So if we're only staying on the surface of things, you know, all this happy face on empty gas gauge or whatever it is, how can we get anywhere? And when a person will be vulnerable enough to actually go to what's real, then we can actually help our clients. Then we can actually enter into a conversation with somebody who maybe could be helped through our work. Then we can speak from stage and, you know, and we learn from close in again to far away. But we you know, start with small groups and understand how they're reacting, how they're feeling, and then move on out from there. And so much better results, so much more quickly because it's coming from that real place. So thank you. Love that. Love that, Michelle. Thank you, Anne. Thank you, Michelle. Beautiful. So, and that real place, that acronym REAL, somebody remind me what it stands for. Because it comes from, if it comes from you, again, we want to keep touching back to that so that we remember that's the foundation of it all. Dana walks across the room. Why did she do it? And that simple act is the foundation of all our other uses of language in our company everywhere. So what does REAL stand for? Who wants to leap in this time? Yeah, thanks, Jasmine.
So relationship building, building empathy, adding in word skill or your diction, and then L. Basically the different audiences, the different genres.
Different genres, yes. I cheated with the L, but see, it helps you remember it anyway, right?
Yeah.
I put in the word love the genre.
I just looked at my notes.
Love the genre, just so we can make the word real, right? And but you really do need to fall in love. That's what I find. I want to fall in love with the genre. I started shifting it to learn the genre, but no, I love that. You got to love the genre. Can I fall in love with networking? If it's not my forte, what would have me love it? If I love that one-on-one, was it Michelle talking about that last time? But you know, then when there's more people, my editor starts to kick up. Well, how can I fall in love with that more than one? What if I start to change my language about it? And those subtle ways, I would go back to listen to that interchange with Michelle, because like one small shift and everything can shift just in the way we perceive the genre that we're entering into, and then what our probability of success is. If I'm kicking and screaming before I walk into it, even internally, it's kind of hard to move from there. If I fall in love with the genre, with that particular form, however I do that. And if you don't know how to do that, there's a genre you hate. I hate X, whatever place that you use your words. Ask about that here. How can I fall in love with that? What are the ways that I fall in love with it so that I can make that part of my company function, right? So fantastic. I love that. These are great, great, thank you for the explanation of REAL. Thank you for the examples of how you've played with connection. And we did a really great review at the beginning of last week's call. I'm not going to do that again here, just reminding us of where we've been in this series. But one thing I want to remind you of today is that what we've done with practical applications is I've given you even just the modules themselves. It took a long time to figure out which places of our language that we use, of our words that we use, do I want to focus on here? What's going to give you, I don't like that expression, but it's how it came up in me. Oh, well, it's an awful expression. Okay, I'm just going to say it. Like, what gives you more bang for the buck? You know, what gives you the greater impact? Which areas do you want to focus on first, right? So the modules themselves are highly intentional and designed to be instructive of like, let me put intentionality into those areas. And then we have questions where you can ask about other areas. We got that last call where we opened it out because there's a whole bunch of other, I mean, this series itself could be easily a year long and we would not run out of material because we use words in every area of our company. Right. But we're focusing on some of those really crucial places, starting from close in networking. So we've really gone into, you know, what are the networking personalities to emulate? What are the ones to avoid? What are some do's and don'ts around networking? And then have had you have a chance to play with some of these things over the last couple of weeks. When that is not working for us, if we hate that, and then we actually, what ends up happening is we try to hide behind if we don't like the one-on-one, if we don't like the real people, even unconsciously. And then, so we want to avoid that. So we hide behind our computer to do the one on many, because maybe it feels easier if you've ever done that before, because actually picking up the phone and calling somebody who might engage in your work feels scary. So turn to the computer or Facebook instead or something like that, or build a page online. If you've ever done that, you've watched somebody do that, raise your hand. You know that happens. Yes, thank you. Thank you for your honesty, right? So we have to understand what stories are going on inside of us. And if we're jumping to like not starting close into far away, and it's not that we have to master the one to go on to the next one. I mean, these things are happening simultaneously in our company, but don't avoid the earlier ones to get to the later ones. Because like, I don't know how that ends well. You know, maybe there's many different routes. I'm not trying to say that this is the only route. This is the route that I know that is so much easier. It's really effective. That makes sense to me. How can we convince the world if that person in front of us isn't hearing us, a real live person? Then how can we talk to, you know, 50 million of them or 25 or whatever it is, right? So we start close in and really, really dive into that skill, because it's we need it for all of the other places where we use our words and our language, which is everywhere in our companies. Today, we move from that networking skill, meeting people one-on-one, to talking about speaking. And let me see, did I print it out for myself here? What I did. Maybe I didn't. Give me one more second. Oh, here it is. Okay. It's just underneath some other papers. Module 3. So here is what we're focused on in this module. And again, any particular module, you can go ahead, ask follow-up questions. Once you've, you know, given a talk, you'll have other different questions to ask and so on. But here's where we're focused today. Module 3, 10 keys to make $10,000 plus from speaking, even when you can't sell. Who thinks that might be a handy skill to have in your company? If you could go and speak, you could make 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or $50,000 or more. I mean, even when they say, hey, come and speak, but you can't sell anything here. And let's see the hands again. Because if somebody's hand isn't raised, like, I just want to know why. So I just like want to, are you hearing that? You know, are you hearing, did I find the words to say it? Got it. Okay. So, you can find this again at michellegunderson.com / practical applications. But just to remind you, we won't always do this, but that gives us our outline for what we're doing. Getting lots of applause is great. Leaving with audience members clamoring to buy is ideal. There are proven steps to building a presentation that primes your audience to work with you. So in this module, here's the aim. See if you're making the critical mistake most speakers make that stalls sales and turns audiences off. Learn the 10 secrets of top paid speakers to captivate an audience every time, and get my storyboard for a civil talk that generates $10, $20, $30, $40, $50,000 in sales and more, even when you're not allowed to sell. So that is our aim for today. Where do I want to begin? There's also some fabulous, fabulous questions on deck today. We've got about 4 questions, and some of them I even grouped them. Yvonne and Mary Kay were asking a similar question, for instance. So we're going to dive into one example. Carly, you asked a great question, but we're going to cover that on the Thursday call because you posted it over there. So for those who are in the year long, that kind of thing. So, but I think what I want to do is start with the training today. Actually, just before we do that, I'd love to hear a couple of wins. Maybe you're out there networking and you're using your words in a different way. Maybe because of what we've done, you've been writing some online copy, even though we haven't talked about it yet, in a different way because of what we've done. Maybe you've been out there speaking and you kind of looked ahead or you thought about it differently because you thought of it as jumping off from networking. Like, or maybe it's just a win that you'd like to share, something that's rolling for you. And you might not even know that it's connected with the work we're doing. But it may well be. Who would like to share a win to get us going? Yeah, Mary Kay, go ahead. Mary Kay's like so ready for that.
Well, remember this last April, people won't remember, but last April I gave a talk in Houston for the National Association of Animal Behavior Consultants. And I just got an email today that they want me to put one of my courses on their website.
Mary Kay, fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that win. Speaking is crucial for all kinds of reasons. Here's another example of why crucial and speaking matters so much. I mean, we haven't even talked about why it matters, but there's a ton of spin-off effects from speaking. Thank you for that. Love it. Love it. Let's hear one more win. What's rolling for you this week? Yeah, Carly, go ahead.
I have a really big meeting at 2:00 today for a $130,000 contract.
Carly, fantastic. Really? Oh my goodness. Fantastic. Oh, that is so, so great. Keep us posted. And man, celebrate all the way along the way. To be able to get that meeting itself is huge.
Yes.
That's huge. That's huge. That's huge. So, huge. Congratulations. So happy for you. So proud of you. It's so great. So keep sharing your wins with each other. Post the wins. Connect with some of you are come from Karen's community. Some of you come from the Love Your Words community. You have ways to connect with each other. Keep sharing those wins. It gathers the energy. And it's like Shavasana changes the energy. When we celebrate the wins, it gathers the energy as well. So I wish we could spend the whole, I'd love to spend the whole call on that. But so much I want to share with you today. So thank you so much. Anything bursting to be said without which we cannot go forward? Again, that's a different kind of question. Lots I want to share with you today. Okay, fantastic. So let me just get over to make sure I've got the right page showing. Okay, here we go. So share 10 keys to great speaking. All right. So this, you can all see my 10 keys to great speaking handout. Yes. Okay, good. So these handouts are all available to you over in Story Freedom Academy. Same place where you can post questions, same place where our calls are posted. And every week there's in your inbox how to access Story Freedom Academy, all right? So make sure that you're accessing it. Tons of resources there for you. So underneath our speaking module, you'll see this. And once we go through this, each of these points will make more sense to you than they do on their own. And goodness, let me see. How do I want to do this? I think what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to go through them. I'm just going to do a flat out training with this part. Just give you an idea of what I mean by each of these 10 pieces. And every single one of them is crucial for your talks, all right? And then I'm going to ask, then I won't tell you where we're going to be. I want you to stay here with me, all right? I won't tell you what we're going to go with them from there. Before I go through these, I just want to say why speaking matters so much. So Mary Kay gave one example already. Speaking is crucial because networking allows us to talk to one person. One person can leap in. Speaking is a more leveraged model, meaning one to many. And it gives me access to growing my company, whatever it is, your company, your business, the work that you do, whatever words you use, because it's one to many and you're only one person. And so when you speak to two people, that's twice as efficient. When you speak to 10 people, it's 10 times more efficient. We got to practice with that networking ground and we don't leave that behind. That's huge. But when we bring it over to speaking, now all of a sudden our companies have greater exposure. And just in creating your signature talk, and Mary Kay and Mary Kay might not know it, but that's what she was asking about. I don't know if you knew that. That's how I interpreted your question anyway from about a week ago. So and Yvonne was asking directly about it. So when you create your talk and you don't need 100 talks, one talk that you can give everywhere. And one of my mentors, Lisa Sasevich, had something that she learned from her dad that I heard her say so many times, it just like it went right into my bones. Her dad used to tell her, because he was, you know, a big, he was on the, I think it was the Ed Sullivan Show. I mean, he was a big performer and well-known in his own right. And she ignored him for most of her life until finally it's like, oh, I get it. That was really important. He used to tell her, don't change your act, change your audience. Don't change your act, change your audience. You just need one talk and keep working with that talk until it works, until it's gaining you what you want. That's a storyboard that I will, my talk, the storyboard of my talk that I will go through in just a minute. I've been giving that talk for 4 years. It's the talk that brought many of you here. And I give other talks now. I was in creation mode last year and I created a whole bunch of other talks, but really I didn't need to, I wanted to. And don't do it until your one talk is getting you all the results you want. And why create a talk? Well, for one thing, you've got to figure out, and we'll dive in with Yvonne's question, Mary Kay's question, like you got to figure out what's the most important thing. What's the most important thing? What's the transformation you offer? And what are the things that people are worried about? And that goes into your talk. So as you're creating your talk, you're starting to understand your own work at a deeper and deeper level in a way that can get communicated to others. So even if you think, but I don't want to be a speaker. I don't want to speak in front of stages of 100 or 1,000 or whatever it is. Do you want to talk to a couple people in your living room? You know, maybe you can gather them in your living room And it, don't confuse it with networking. It's a different genre. But hey, I just want to present something. A couple of you want to come over. I just want to practice with you. And even in a practice, they may go, oh, can I buy that? That's happened to people I know, to people in our community, to people, to myself as well. Just even in practicing, people go, can I buy that? Right? So those are some of the reasons to create a talk, why it's, you know, really important for your company to do so. And then let's talk about, let me see. So I, before we get to the how, I want you to just jot down one reason, just on the page in front of you, the most important reason for you to create a talk. Get over nervousness to being in front of people, because that's important. Hone my speaking skills, because it'll be helpful elsewhere. Understand my content better, be able to communicate it, want to leverage my time. I mean, so many reasons. Be able to make an offer that, that people can leap into even when we can't sell. I mean, what's your reason? Write that down now for yourself. Okay, thank you. If you've got at least something down, raise your hand. I can't see all of you when we're in this mode, but I'll take that if some hands are up. Okay, good. So, fantastic. And that'd be a great, what I call home play, great exercise. Write down 10 reasons, 100 reasons that it would be great for you to have a talk. You'll have the talk so much faster if you know why it's so important. We're just scratching the surface of that today because I want to get you some very practical applications, the how. Okay, well, how are we going to do this? First, begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. Where is it that you want people to go? What is it? What's your call to action? What is it that you want people to do at the end of your talk? Where is it leading? And then the whole talk is constructed around that. So you have to know where it's going. Otherwise, it's just going to be random. So for example, if you saw me speak, you know, I speak at eWomen sometimes. So Carly, for instance, when I came to speak to your chapter, the end that I had in mind, Carly might remember this, or if you saw me speak, I wanted people to want to read anatomy. That was the first thing that I wanted for them. And Carly was that, can you remember when the talk was a year ago, but you probably remember, and people all at the end of the talk, you know, everybody's rushing to get anatomy. Anatomy of an Empowering Story, my free gift, all right? That's a great end. The other thing, and don't do this, this is a finesse level skill. I've been working with words and stories like over 25 years, right? So the other thing was I wanted them to come talk to me. But the thing is I could align those two ends because I've been working with words for so many times. Don't do that, right? Don't do that. One thing that you want them to do, and that's a great thing. Have them want your free gift when you're speaking. That is the best thing to do to collect leads in that audience so that you can start a conversation with them, because it's a conversation, it's a relationship, and your free gift allows you to stay connected with that person and then start accessing all those other things that we talked about connection and so on, right? So begin with the end in mind, number one. Number two, know your audience and purpose. And I put Uncle Bob in brackets there. Pretty well every class that I taught at the university over many years, all my students learned about Uncle Bob. And usually it was a 2-hour lecture. I'm going to give this to you in like 2 minutes, right? And the 2-hour lecture is not because there was something extra. I got a lot more to teach about this than we have the time and space for here, all right? But here's the story that I would tell my students at the university. And it's really apropos for us as well. I had them imagine that they, and it was very real for them. You know, you want to get your degree. You want to go to the university, but you don't have any money to do it. Right? What are you going to do? And imagine you have no avenues, but you got a rich Uncle Bob, and he's going to, he has the resources to send you the money. Okay. So, oh, by the way, he hates you. How are you going to get him to send you the money? So it's like a playful little game, right? That I used to teach. Again, it was a two-hour workshop in most of the classes that I taught, set the foundation for the whole course of no matter what I was teaching. And here's the, as I say, 2, maybe 3-minute version. So sometimes what they would say is like, well, you know, I would try out some different possibilities. I could say, I really want to go to college and I'm going to graduate and become a doctor. Uncle Bob, will you please give me the money? He doesn't care. He doesn't even like you, right? So I was like, oh, okay, well, what matters to him? Do you remember that a principle of connectedness and the game they played about orange peels, right? Orange peels and horses? What matters to him? What matters to him? Maybe he's a golf enthusiast and you plan to graduate in medical school and you want to work with golfers, only if it's real. I don't know. Maybe that's an inroad to start talking to him. Who's your audience? Who's your audience and what's the purpose? And the purpose is not always as simple as it seems, because it looks like the purpose is to have them send you the money. I guess that's the ultimate purpose, right? For my students in college. But really the purpose in that case is for him to get excited and get behind the idea that you going to college matters to him. So the purpose is not always what we think it is. And the biggest mistake that most speakers make, and even professional speakers, they make a mistake around audience and purpose. Because they'll get up on stage and maybe it's designed to be a testimonial for the host. And instead they'll go on and on about their work. Maybe in that testimonial, they think it's supposed to be about the host, but it's not. It's actually about the audience. So what's the main point that you're trying to get across and for whom? Most people make a mistake here. And when this shifts, everything changes. It was one of the pieces that I did, for instance, with one of my clients. Some of you, I think all... Many of you know Sarah Rife Hecking, and she told this story at Story Freedom, my 3-day event in September, that she'd been trying to get on the stage for 3 years and had tried like 5 times and couldn't get on it. And the spot was highly competitive. And when we dove in, and beyond the scope of what I want to teach you right now, again, we need 2 hours just for this point at least, but as we tweaked what she understood around the audience and the purpose for her talk, she got on that stage immediately. And it's a spot that you could get on competitively for free, that other people would pay for that time on that stage, like $20,000. She tried for 3 years and 5 times. We honed this and she got on immediately. And as she shared with the audience at Story Freedom, then she forgot and kind of went back into her other thing when she was talking to the host beforehand. The host said, oh, don't say that. So then she talked about what we said to say and honing in on that audience and purpose. And she said, oh yeah, that's good. Say that. You need to know who you're talking to and what's the point of it. Number three, create a simple talk structure. I won't say very much about this because we'll look at my storyboard in just a second. But do you remember, and you know what I'm going to do here? Let me see. I only see some of you when we're here, and I'm just going to point the arrow so I can see the other segment of you guys. Let me change faces for a moment. So do you remember, maybe it was back in high school and you learned that dreaded 5-paragraph essay? Raise your hand if you remember long ago, maybe for some of you, something about that, all right? So, or maybe you've learned a five-point talk, or you're, you know, part Toastmasters or something. It's like, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then, you know, make your points, and then tell them what you told them, or something. Like simple structures. And the 5-paragraph essay is just like, what's the main point that you want to say? Here's 3 points that support it, and then come to a conclusion. And this simple talk structure is so often missed. People don't even know what the point of the talk is, and then how do we get there from there, right? So keep it simple, keep it simple. And when I taught university too, a big part of what I would do is like peeling away the layers of all the things that we thought we've learned in different places and making it absolutely simple. You'll see that in my the storyboard for my talk. Ho-hum, so what? So what this means is, imagine at the beginning that your audience is bored, that they really don't care. And that was really easy for me with some of the courses that I taught, different kinds of courses, but when I taught university, I like to think of them as the boys in the back row. You know, they have their bowl caps on. They're like, I don't want to take this course. And it was really funny. It was really fun to watch them turn around by the end of the year and watch them come, you know, first thing to class and be really super excited and share stuff that they never thought they'd share. And so imagine your audience like that. What's the hook? What's the thing that you can, where you can gather their attention? They're like, oh, I'm bored. What will grab them right from the beginning? So what? At the end, you want to always ask yourself, and you can ask this throughout for your talk and ask it, especially at the end, but ask it all the way through. With love, you can ask yourself, like, so let's say it's, I'm saying that stories are in our everyday world. Well, so what? What if people don't know why that matters? Why should they care? Yeah, and so are dishwashers and cars. I don't care. Why does it matter? Why is that important? How does it touch my life? You want to keep asking yourself that question so that your audience doesn't. So what? Number five, what's the single domino? There is a belief in your audience's head, one that needs to shift. A single domino, and by single domino, you know, like when you tap them, that's those are the ones that, you know, you push it down, and they all go, and it all comes down, right? You want to understand what's that single idea that when that shifts, everything shifts for them, and they enter your world, and it's the gateway for them to understand that this is the work that they need, assuming that they're your ideal client and they really need help in your area, and you're the one to help them. And let me give you an example. The single domino in the world of this company, for my talk, Stories That Sell, some of you have seen that talk, have attended that talk, and we'll see the storyboard in a minute. The single domino is or the belief that I want to sell, like sometimes it's a belief that they need to let go of. Sometimes it's a belief that they need to, a new belief, right? The way I would say it with my talk is a new belief. When people understand that stories are everywhere, it's not just the little elevator pitch, 30 seconds. It's not just when I write my bio. It's not just in these, because people sometimes come in just wanting those pieces. But the stories are everywhere. They're in the words we choose or we don't choose. Like they're in our heads. Like we saw with Michelle last time. It's and we've seen with others here as well. They're in they're in the heads of our team, for instance, if we're trying to get them to do something for us, right? They're in the heads of our clients. Again, Michelle's example, right? So stories are everywhere. When we understand that we live in a sea of stories, it's really important to hone this skill and to understand it, because we can have the best skills and structures. We can know we can work with all the best teachers, and it's not going to move because we don't understand that person in front of us has a story going that we don't have access to because we don't know anything about story. And so we can't make anything move. So the single domino for my talk, for instance, Stories That Sell, when people start to understand that stories are everywhere, everything else follows from that. If you can see that, raise your hand if you're understanding the essence of what I'm saying here. Got it. Okay, fantastic. I'm just going to scroll down again, see a different group. It's kind of fun. I've never thought of doing that before. Yay. All right. Number six, make one point and find details to support it. And this goes right back to those things that we learned in school but often forget. The point right now, for instance, is right at the top of the page. I want to give you 10 keys to great speaking. And why? For all those reasons that I said, that speaking is important. And when you master these pieces of speaking, I don't know how to have a great talk without these pieces, right? So the one point is that when you master these 10 great keys to speaking, it's going to make a difference for your talk, which matters to your world, right? So underlying everything that I'm speaking here is that underlying point. And if that's why I wanted to rewind and go, wait, why does this matter to you? If it doesn't even matter to you, that one point is not going to land, right? That these 10 great keys to speaking matter, right? And then find details to support it. And you could see even just this little mini talk right here. Make one point and find details to support it. I just did that with the last point. Here's a single domino, and here's an example of how I've done it, so then you can understand what that point means, right? So I just did it, because I do that naturally, because that's, you know, I've worked with words for so long. Do I always do it? No. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes. But is this what we're aiming at? Yes. All right. Number seven, what's their top of mind problem? All right, so I'm just going to change views again, so I can see a different bunch of you, see how you're doing. All right, what's their top of mind problem? We need to understand what matters to them the most. What is keeping them up at night when they roll over in the middle of the night and they can't sleep, and maybe, you know, they're there with their partner and they're going like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I can't believe that blah. And it's that thing that's keeping them up at night in your area. And it's in their real words, that thing that, you know, they'll say to a friend over a glass of wine or a cup of coffee or whatever it is. We need to know that. And that better be addressed in our talk. Otherwise, why should they care? I don't advertise my talk as, hey, stories are everywhere. Nobody cares about that. Not until they come into the world that we live in here and start to understand it. Then it's going to matter a lot to them. What's their top of mind problem? It's why my talk is called Stories That Sell. Because if they know something that stories matter or something about that, and they want to sell stuff because they've got a company and they'd like to grow it, there's a good chance that I can help them. Top of mind problem. How do I sell stuff better? Number 8, keep it simple. I've been talking about that all throughout. don't need to explain that further. Number 9, move from pain to hope. I'm not going to say a lot too much about this. We're going to see this in different modules as well. But if their top of mind problem, for instance, is that I want to find stories that sell, and but I don't know how, and I don't know the first thing about story. If they have not yet felt that pain, your solution is not going to help them. And that could be happening in networking, for instance, if you speak from the pulpit instead of networking and connecting first. There's no pain in that person. It's like, here's my solution. They don't care because they're not feeling the pain in that moment. It doesn't matter to them. First, people have to be able to feel the pain. And that's that part we often skip over as heart-centered entrepreneurs because we don't want people to hurt. I want to remind you that you're not causing pain. It's a pain that's already inside them. You're not causing pain. It's a pain that's already inside them. If you understood that, raise your hand. I can't see all of you, so I have to see how many of you are raising the ones that I can see. Yes, you got it. And then some kind of hope is going to emerge. You don't want them to wallow in the pain. Something in what you say is going to allow them to hope for something bigger, something that allows them to shift that pain in them. All right, so a great talk will do that, and a good talk will do that. Number 10, problem solution. The languaging around this, a lot of great entrepreneurs teach this, but one of my teachers, Lisa Sasevich, this is her wording of it, and I really, really like it. It's really clear. So again, just want to give credit where credit is due. This is Lisa's phrasing. Many, many teachers teach it, from Jeff Walker and Sandra Yancey, and you know, many top entrepreneurs teach a version of this. This is the example that I've heard Lisa say, but it's a really great example. So let's say you need money. So the problem is you need money. The solution is you won the lottery, right? Well, the person who's won the lottery, they've got a problem remaining. It's a genuine bona fide problem arising out of that solution. Now, most lottery winners lose their money in 5 years or whatever it is. That's a new, real problem that person really actually has. With a new solution, maybe they've got to get a financial advisor, maybe they've got it, whatever it is, all right? So what is the problem that your talk solves, and what's the problem that's remaining, and what's the call to action? Reference that begin with the end in mind. What's the call to action that solves that new problem? So let me give you the example of my Stories That Sell talk. The title of the talk is Stories That Sell. And what I'm illustrating is this problem solution. I'm going to stop sharing. You guys can all access this handout. It's over in Story Freedom Academy. So problem solution of my Stories That Sell talk is called Stories That Sell, 3 Keys to Gain Confidence, Inspire Action, and Sell More with Powerful Stories. And all of those are designed to touch on pain points that people have. The problem is that they want to sell more, and they don't know how to access that power of story in order to do it. That's the problem. The solution that I teach them is that first you got to understand that stories are everywhere. If you don't get that, we can't move anywhere. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck with those little tiny solutions like, I need a better elevator pitch or something. You're going to be missing most of it. And you might even have the, you know, copy that's written by a copywriter charging $10,000 a page. But if you don't know the story that's going on inside the head of the person who's reading it, it doesn't matter. If you can't find the words to articulate it to a copywriter, it's not going to land. If you grow and now your company changes, now you got to rewrite the copy, you're in trouble. Right. So the problems I want to sell with stories, the solution is you got to have a bigger, wider understanding of story. There's more to the talk than that, but than you thought before. Stories are everywhere, and you got to access the stories that are in your company and inside you. So So that's the problem. That's the solution is you got to do, you've got to learn more about story, basically. All right. And learn more about story. So the problem that remains is I only have so much time with you. I can't teach you everything. Like, what's the biggest story mistake? Because I've got to give you the groundwork. And it really, in 20 minutes, I can't cover it all. What's the biggest story mistake that most entrepreneurs make? What are some examples of places that you want to use story, real life examples that you can, you know, what's the thing that you can do today? Please go and read anatomy. So can you see how that problem solution structure, why people then all want to go get anatomy, or all the right people all want to go get anatomy when I speak, right? And it ranges from a high percentage to 100% of the room, because, you know, it's all the right people will want that because you've taken them through a journey, right? Then there's another problem solution, because when you read anatomy, I can teach you the best of what I can in a short order about story. So I can solve that problem. There's another PSPS that happens. But the problem is, I don't know about your story. This is a real bona fide problem, right? I don't know what's happening with your story. I don't know if the problem is in your team's head. I don't know if it's that you're not giving a talk or that what's happening in your talk. I don't know if the biggest story area is what's going on inside your own head. I don't know if the story that will move the needle most for you is the one that's blocking you from getting the support that you need, or whatever it is. So then the solution is, come and talk to me. And actually, if some of you haven't yet, that's called a strategy session. And you can book a strategy session with me, and I'm giving you that problem solution of that. But if you want that solution and you haven't had a strategy session with me before, please go book one. Just send a note to Emily at michellegunderson.com and tell her you want a strategy session. But can you see how, even just in the outline, how that problem solution works? If you understood how that worked, raise your hand. It's real stuff. Yeah, it's the genuine, like the cool thing about this is all of it is very real, and all of it is designed to be in service to the people who are in front of you, which bounces off of what we learned in networking. It's why we spend so long setting that groundwork, because it's all about connection. It's all about empathy. It's all about understanding the genre. And then we need some word skill in this particular area too. And this is designed to give you that. So, we've got so many great questions on board too, and the storyboard. We got the questions and the storyboard now, and we don't meet for a while. I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to go through the storyboard with you next time. So we'll do a little bit more on speaking next time. But you already are so far ahead of others in the industry. You don't understand the fundamentals of speaking. And when you go, actually, it would be a great idea for you to look at the storyboard. That storyboard was, and then we'll talk about it next time, all right? That storyboard was created by somebody in the audience who'd never seen my talk before. And she was able to sketch out what my talk was about because the structure of it was that clear. All right. So for next time, here's some home play over the holidays, because we don't meet again until January, right? In this call for this practical application series. We're not done yet, but I want to leave time for the questions here. That's why I'm wrapping up this part. Go and watch my talks that I've posted. I posted a 4-minute talk and a 7-minute talk. And I've taught you a little bit about audience and purpose. Those are designed for a very different purpose and a very different audience. And the only reason I did the 7-minute talk, to be honest, was as practice for the 4-minute talk. But the 7-minute talk was delivered in front of an audience of, I don't know, 100 or so people, and over 100 people, I think. And I only had 7 minutes, I think it was. And nearly everybody in the room wanted what I wanted them to want, which was anatomy, after just 7 minutes. So go and take a look. That those talks were highly crafted. See if you can see what the different audience, the different purpose of those talks, because if you think about it first, go and take a look at my storyboard. That's for a longer talk. And then see if you can see, well, how am I knocking over that big domino, even in a 4-minute talk? Even in a 4-minute talk, how am I doing that? So you can test these principles about what I've done. It's different genres, whether it's 4 minutes, 7 minutes, a 20-minute talk, and so on. Go ahead and ask follow-up questions about that. And what I want to do to wrap up this part about speaking for now is to ask you, of these 10 keys to great speaking, I want to hear, just jot down the one that you want to dive into the most. You need them all, All right. But which one grabs you first that you want to start playing with between now and when we first meet? And I strongly encourage you to go give a talk before we next meet. Your questions will be at a different level. Grab two people in your living room and speak in front of them. Or if you speak in front of big audiences, go do that, right? Go find another talk to do. But do some actual speaking between now and when we next meet. It will, if you don't come anyway, you know, please come with your questions, but you'll understand so much more, and there'll be real questions on the court questions when you come with that. So choose one of them that you want to play with. I suggest you get a date for speaking between now and when we next meet, even if it's two people in your living room. Give them a 10-minute talk practice, all right? And so I'd like to hear from a couple of you. Which one did you choose to work on and why? Let's hear from one or two of you really quickly. Grace first, yeah, and then Jackie.
I'll try. I've laryngitis. Structure.
The structure, the simple talk structure, yes. And thank you. And why, Grace?
Because if I have structure, I'm doing better. It'll get me started.
Yes, fantastic. And one of my teachers says, you know, structure gives you freedom, right? Structure gives you freedom. So creating that structure, fantastic. And then you can go and take a look at the storyboard. It's such a simple structure. There's more to it. I'll speak more to it next time. All right. Fantastic. Thank you. It was Jackie, right? Jackie?
Yeah. I'm bouncing between keep it simple and what's the single domino. I tend to explain a little bit too much sometimes, and I think I can lose people, or at least not getting to the point, just not getting to the point.
Yes. Fantastic. And I love that. Keep it simple. And what's the single domino? One of my clients did a fabulous talk, and where she wanted to start, she's worked in video, and she wanted to do some intricate details about, I don't even remember where she first started when we started the work. And it was like, you know, f-stoppy kinds of things. I don't know anything about, right? I'm like, okay, that's all nice, but why do people even want video anyway? It's like, what's a single domino? What's their top of mind problem? What's bugging them? Well, people want, and we talked about it for a bit, it's like, well, people are busy these days. They really want to replicate themselves. If only I could be everywhere. Oh, video does that. Want to replicate yourself? Learn video. Oh, much more important to that audience than how to jiggle the f-stop or make it sharper, you know, for the audience she was delivering to. Why does it even matter in the first place? Foundational things were so close to our work that we forget at that level. Great to work with in partners. Go find a partner and talk to them. It's like, I think the top of mind problem of my people, because this is what they tell me, this is the questions they're asking, is this. I think the single thing that I need them to understand is this, or whichever piece you want to work on. That was Jackie. So thank you for that. Awesome. All right. I want to make sure to get to the questions, because you guys did do what I asked and you posted fabulous questions, and I want to make sure we dive in. First, anything burning to be said without which we can't go forward? Just a sentence or two. It's like, I got to say this. All right. Yeah, Jackie, go ahead.
I just wanted to relay something real quick that I heard, that you are six people away, talking about connection, from knowing everybody in the world.
Yeah.
And it just, yes, it brought home that how closely everything is related for me.
Thank you. I love that. And it's why, again, start with networking. Where am I going to speak next? Probably that person I'm talking to knows somebody whose stage I should be speaking on. And it's probably, you know, and it might be that, it might be some other way that we connect, but it starts with that very essential groundwork that moves everything in our companies. Thank you for that. Okay. Anything else that absolutely has to be said right now? You just can't hold it in. So I want there to be space, and we can't fill up if you're already full or if something is bubbling up inside you. Okay, let's take a collective breath. Inhale. And then exhale. And again, inhale. And then exhale. Good. It's like almost like a brief mini imitation of Shavasana. Just focusing on the breath. Clean slate, so we can go into these amazing, amazing questions. All right. So the first question is Mary Kay / Yvonne and / Barb, actually. So all those questions are connected. And Then there's another question from Mary Kay, and then there's one, a couple questions from Mary Kay, and one from Jasmine. So we'll get to what we can. And Jasmine, I did see your question, but it was just posted, just before we got on the call. So give me a couple days if you can to take a look at your questions, and I'll get to them all as soon as I can. We'll make sure we get to all of them. We'll get to as many of them as we can today. Post them early. You can post them right after this call if you want to make sure, like, to be first in line to get your question answered next time. All right. So Mary Kay was saying, I was thumbing around through my notes and came across a comment. Know your signature content. What should be my signature content? Tips on words and phrasing. And it has to do with what moves you to tears or your why. So here's what I want to say about this question, Mary Kay. Your signature content is that signature talk, which is what we're talking about right now. Like, what's my talk? This is my content. And so everything that we're talking about right now helps you design that, which is why I wanted to wait to answer that question until now. And if there's something more specific, again, because we've got a lot of great questions on deck, add a follow-up question. I'll answer maybe a part of the question, or maybe it answers it. Then add another follow-up question so we can dive in further next time, all right? So the signature content is... all those things that we just went through, those 10 keys, that all has to be in there, all right? And Yvonne asked a related question, and I'm going to relate it to Barb's question. Barb, and thank you for waiting on that. It's like, oh, there's a question about copyright. Please, I asked you to ask me that question, and thank you for your patience in and around that. So Barb's area is copyright, and... it's really important to know your client's top of mind problem. What's keeping them up at night? And I wanted to give Barb another entry road into that because, and Barb, is okay if I talk about how you've been, thank you, okay. So Barb has been talking about, you need to know about copyright, protect your gold mine, right? And that's one entry road into copyright. Like, don't have somebody steal your stuff. And people might be worried, like, they're going to steal my stuff. So I want to protect it. That's one inroad in. But what is, and so nothing wrong with that. You have to make sure that it's keeping people up at night. Are people actually up at night? Who are the people that are up at night worrying about this? Go find them, right? But I wanted to give Barb another entry road in because what is the top of mind problem of our clients? And this, hers is copyright, yours is something else, but it applies to each one of us. Like, can we know and be so connected and listen, last chapter of my PhD dissertation, listening differently, be that connected to our clients that we understand from having listened to so many of them, sometimes what's going on for them even before they speak it. Or, we have some idea of it because we've listened so much, all right? And I heard a piece around a top of mind problem because sometimes we need to do some research about what's happening in and around copyright, for instance. I mean, maybe if you're working with horses, a number of you are working with horses, right? So maybe there's a industry-wide that more people are falling off their horses. I mean, I'm giving a ridiculous answer, right? Or a ridiculous example. But if that were the case, and you're teaching about how to stand beside your horse, but everybody's falling off their horses these days, it's really important to know that because that's what they're focused on. How to not fall off your horse. And then eventually inside the party, once they're coming in closer, it's like, well, in order to not fall off your horse, you need to know how to stand and be with your horse. Let me teach you about standing. But they're not thinking about that. They're thinking about falling off their horses or whatever it is, right, in your area. So with Barb, one of the things that I learned, and I said, please ask me about it, about copyright, is that if you have an event, I started understanding why people don't allow video at events. If you have an event and people record, if somebody just in your audience records it, and you've got a song playing in the background, and then they post it on Facebook, and it's attached to your event, but that's a copyrighted song, you can get your stuff pulled down off of Vimeo because of that. That is a top of mind problem. Can you see the difference, right? That's a top of mind problem. You may not think your company is very big. You may not think that, it affects too many people, but your stuff can get pulled down. If you've got a YouTube channel, you've got Vimeo, and somebody records at your event and you've used just one song, better know about it. And now all of a sudden it's like, whoa, right? Can you see the difference in top of mind problem? I better find out about this stuff, and I better find out about it quickly, but I think it's going to be really expensive and hard. No, but don't worry, it's not going to be expensive and hard. So this, in Barb's area, these are really good things to know about what her client might be thinking about, depending on who she's trying to address. But anybody who holds events, for instance, needs to know that. She could just target event hosts, for instance. Depends on who she's talking to. She's going to say different things than if she's talking to people who host birthday parties or whatever it is, all right? What's their top of mind problem? So Mary Kay's question about signature content, Barb's question about copyright, is that helpful, Barb? I asked you to ask this question. Yes. What's their top of mind problem? Single domino. Copyright doesn't affect me. I just have a small company. Maybe. That might be the one thing. I don't know. It takes further investigation. What's the one belief that needs to be knocked over for them to enter into that world? Or maybe it's that it's going to be costly, it doesn't affect me, or whatever it is. What's that for your company, right? So with Yvonne's, so Yvonne just posted a great question, and that's, let me find it on my page here, really quickly. Yvonne's question, where are you? I think it's on the back page here. There are so many questions. I was trying to order them for you too so that they would make sense. What could be my signature talk? Questions that you pose don't have to be complex, right? Let me give me a chance to interact with you and what matters to you. So Yvonne posted, well, what could be my signature talk? And so the very first question I want to ask you then, Yvonne, is a couple questions, and this is for all of you, and I wrote them down, so I'm actually looking at my page, so I don't forget in this, you know, because I want to make sure we get to all the questions. So for the sake of going quickly here, and getting to all the questions. So and we've already covered it earlier. Right? So just reminding you, what's the transformation you offer? What are the top 3 to 5 pain points that your clients face? How do you help people? These are all trying to get at the same thing, right? And different aspects of it. What questions are they asking? What do they want solved? And then what do you love about this topic? So, and Yvonne, just real quick, just for, because this is following up with, Barb's question and Mary Kay's question and your question, and we're here talking about signature talks right now. Give me the one sentence answer to each of these, Yvonne, and then go away and do the 1 hour answer. Like this, take some time and talk to people and talk to your clients and potential clients and figure this out. This is crucial for each of us, for the talk and for our companies and for the world, right? So Yvonne, what's the transformation you offer? What do you help people with? Why are they stuck and how do you help them? Short version, real short.
One of the things that they, that event hosts struggle with is that they think that they have to do it all by themselves.
That sounds like it. If you've been to an event, if you know somebody or you've hosted events yourselves, Carly knows and she's nodding like crazy, all right? So they think they've got to do it all themselves. Okay. So, and what do you do to solve that?
I show up and help.
Fantastic. All right. So, and remembering that problem solution structure, they might not come to a talk that says, here's the 10 reasons why you should hire me to show up at your event. They don't care. But it might be, they're up at night and what are they saying? They're rolling over to their partner in the middle of the night. And what are they saying, Yvonne?
I think they're stressed out. They're overwhelmed with the amount of work that's involved.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can imagine them saying, I've hosted lots of events too. So I've even got the, like in my worst moments before events and there's, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get it all done. That's probably something like that, right? Top of mind problem. Easy title for your talk. And this could be it. It doesn't have to be this, but here in just a few seconds, we can get the essence of her talk down. And don't, if you're quoting them, you don't need to change their words. Just say it verbatim. Don't know how to, you know, worried you'll never get it all done. Don't know how to get it all done. Ever think to yourself, how am I going to get it all done? 3 keys to make your next event effortless and easy. If you were an event host, would you be interested in that content? Or just Anybody who here who's hosted events before, would you want to know how to make three keys to make your event easier next time? Yeah. Okay. And again, this is what we came up with in 1 minute. So 1 minute. And then what are those things that will really truly help them? And then you begin with the end in mind. If the end in mind is that either she wants them to get her free gift, that's what I would suggest, then she needs to create a free gift. And that free gift is going to address some top of mind problems. I gave you the example of Anatomy of an Empowering Story, right? Or it could become Talk to Me. I mean, those are good ends for a talk, right? So how is she going to engender that desire in them in a bona fide way, in a way that's in service? That's going to be her, what she's going to be focused on for her talk. Helpful beginning, Yvonne? Good. If that helped you, if you think that you can adapt that for your own talk, so you can start creating your talk today, raise your hand. There's something in it. Thank you. Awesome. All right. And do you know what the best way is to get your talk written? Somebody tell me. The very best way. Somebody, one of you, you know. Somebody knows. What's the best way to get your talk written? Somebody tell me. Yeah, Sherry.
Book a date.
It's not your first go around, Sherry. You know, book a date. This is not your first rodeo. Book a date. Get it on your calendar. You are all heart-centered. You will know that you're going to have to show up and serve because that's in your nature, right? To help people. So if you got to show up and at that day and it's happening right then, it's going to get written. That's why I suggest go and do a talk, even if it's two people, in front of two people before the next time we meet, you can do this. And why? Not even for the results of that, because you'll get your talk written. And then you'll have also new level questions. And then you'll be able to go out and offer it to people. It just takes two people in your living room, all right? So thank you for that beautiful question, Barb and Yvonne and Mary Kay. Next, and just take a moment and jot down one thing that you're going to do as a result of what you just heard from this talk. It might be, I'm going to book a date. It might be, I'm going to figure out the top of mind problem. Write down one thing you're going to do quickly so this just doesn't go into Never Never Land. Okay, thank you. So Mary Kay asked another question. She said, if you're offering something vulnerable, how do you know what audience can, what audience you can be vulnerable in front of, I guess, how much? When you're telling people about your work, especially if it's not in person? Well, the first thing I would say is practice in person. So her question is about vulnerability, and it's a really good question because in order to speak well, we need to be vulnerable. We need to be real. More on that next time when you see my storyboard, right? One of the things I'd ask about, like, well, how deep do I go? Have you digested that? I'm just going to give this one key and then Mary Kay post a follow-up question if you want. All right, but here's the one key. Have you digested that story? If you ask a follow-up, if you want more on that, ask me about digesting a story and Natalie Goldberg with reference to your last question. Okay, Mary Kay, or if anybody else wants that. So let me give you an example. 3 weeks after my man died, I was on stage both live and virtually speaking about it. But I had to know that I could be far enough away from that pain that I wasn't just up there for myself. I was up there with the audience in mind, and the purpose didn't have to do with me and therapy for me, audience and purpose, that I could be there with a point to share that mattered to them. And if I'm still too close to the issue, I'm not going to do it because it breaks the key of audience and purpose. I'm up there for me instead of them. I did it again when I had and I'm fine if you haven't, I can't remember if I've said it here or not, but I had a cancer journey this summer. I'm fine. They did surgery and they got it. This is basal cell. And some of you are like, it's not so bad, right? It's different from other kinds. I'm good. But still, when I got that call, right? I'm like, what? What kind are, you know? And I spoke about it at Story Freedom when my arm was still bandaged up from the surgery. But I did a lot of meditating, go inward. Am I ready to tell that story yet? And if it can't be for the audience, don't tell it yet. Use another story or use a different piece of that story that is digested. That's a couple minutes on what I could speak about all day, but hopefully that gives you a place to get started, all right? Let me see. Mary Kay asked a question about a business plan and risk. Let me see. And I want to, and I think, let me see, I don't see Jasmine here live right now. So, and Jasmine just posted just before this call. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to address Jasmine's question next time, all right, in our practical application series. And Jasmine, if you're listening to this recording and you want it answered sooner, send me a text. Get in touch with Emily at michellegunderson.com. If you're in our year long, you can post in the Facebook forum as well. And just let me know. Let me know that you need the answer sooner, all right? But I want to address this question that was posted a little sooner. So business plan. So best words to use in a business plan, both for yourself and for potential investors. Well, I want to show you the magic of what we're learning here. And instead of giving you a fish, I want to teach you to fish. I both have, you know, skill and experience as in words and stories. And also from all my university training, I'm trained as a researcher. And I want you to have this skill as well. And I want you to be able to marry what we're doing here with a, just a very, it, all it needs is an elementary research skill, so that you can have words in multiple different areas. And we'll get to more of this too toward the end of this series and as the questions come up in different areas, right? So the first thing that I want to say, a business plan for you and for your potential investors. I've not written up such a business plan, so I can't tell you from my own experience, and I haven't done a lot of coaching in and around this. So, and I can say that all you need is real. When you understand those other pieces, it's just the third piece of understand the genre, right? Sorry, wait, fourth piece, love the genre. That's the only piece that you need. And I will tell you exactly what I would do if I were looking for investors, all right? Now, one thing I really believe in, the founders of Basecamp wrote this wonderful book on business, and this wonderful billionaire, who is one of my mentors' mentors, said, if somebody had an MBA and somebody else just read this book, I would hire the person who's read this book. It's by the founders of Basecamp. For the life of me, I can't remember the name of it. But if you look up book by Basecamp, you know, by the ones who you'll find it, it's an amazing book. And they said, like, don't seek investors too soon. You know, like, actually, they don't like the idea of investors at all. You lose control of your company. So, and this may not be the kind of investors that you're talking about, Mary Kay, but I've just like not been interested in doing that myself, and I haven't taught a lot around that. So I want to first be real about my background with this, but then it doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter, because the only piece that you need is love the genre. You have to learn about the genre. Now, I'm a researcher. I had a little while to look at your question, Mary Kay, and if I were wanting to do that, because let's say I wanted, which I don't, but I wanted investors in my company right now, there are so many fill-in-the-blank places. Do you get what I'm saying? There are so many, and Jasmine was asking for some fill-in-the-blank stuff too. So many fill-in-the-blank places that you can access so easily. The problem is we don't know how to adapt them to ourselves, and we don't know how to understand pieces about audience and purpose and all that stuff that we're learning here, all right? So here's what I would do. The very first thing that I would do, which is exactly what I did, and it took me 2 minutes, right? So let me see if I can share my screen again. I'll go, okay, business plan. I do know that you want to like create a one-page business plan first. Keep it simple. And I do know that you're going to want to make sure that they can see what your plan is. You have to have a plan, you know, because it's like the talk, what I just taught you about talk, begin with the end in mind, that you have a plan for where you're going, and you have some track record. And think about, you know, Shark Tank, if you've watched that before, right? When people come in, it's like, I've got this great idea. I haven't sold even a single thing yet, but I want you to lend me $1 million. The answer is going to be no. What's your track record? So all these things, some of them, they just, about that genre, they just make sense. But what I did, and it took me just a couple minutes to do this, I'm like, I just put in a couple keywords, like business plan, free. Right? And this is the first place that I came to. Well, this is actually a review of them. I found the page first. Oh, I think that was over here. I don't know these people from Adam, right? But they're called liveplan.com. I just searched with a couple of keywords. All right. So, and this is what came out. Here's 500 sample business plans to inspire you. Great. What this doesn't tell you is about all these pieces that we're learning here, audience and purpose. It doesn't tell you about in this particular area. And those are things that take a refinement of words that we're learning here. But you can find this kind of stuff on the internet for free. easily. That's why I don't spend a lot of time on this. That's what I would do if it's a genre that I don't know. Start there. And then I looked and it's like, what are the reviews like? Great. 4.5 or 4.6 stars out of 5. 70 people said that. Looks pretty good. And what do you know? There's a 60-day plan for that you can get. You can get the first 60 days free, I think. And then it's like $20 a month. And they have 500 plans. So again, it's why I don't spend a lot of time here giving you some fill in the blank things, because they're pervasive. But what I would do is go and find one that looks pretty good to you. Go and follow that format and then ask the higher level question here. That's exactly what I would do, Mary Kay. So I want to give you a fish. I want to teach you how to fish. And that's as good a one as any. I looked at a couple of them and they're really smart. They're really on point and start with one page. They knew that much, right? That you got to start with something super simple. It's something I've learned from Sandra Yancey as well. It's just like, don't make it complex. And one of her $1 billion mentors said, like, you couldn't get it down to a page, forget it, go away. You know, like it was a page in that case, or maybe it was a couple pages. We think of these complex things, right? So go and do that. Look at a couple samples that resonate with you and then post it here so we can finesse it, because the basics of that genre are, you know, pretty easy to see just from looking at a couple samples. So again, borrow from my research skills. Mary Kay, does that give you a good place to start? It's free. You can go over there. And even just the first couple that I looked at, is like, that looks pretty darn good.
I've already done that.
Yeah, right. So then go, fantastic. So then go and do that and then post it here. And then we can see, we can do that higher level work of, okay, exactly who's your audience? What's the purpose of this? What are they going to be looking for in this context? And what, you know, how much money are you looking for? And what do you know about that particular bank? And I'd be doing, you know, that's where the real work happens. Not in this format or that format. Am I making sense here?
Yes, I think the biggest thing I'm taking is to adapt it all to your REAL, your real.
Absolutely. And like I say, post that higher level question. Here's one that I just did some research. I found one. Here's one that I've created. What do you think? And here's my audience. Here's my purpose. I think, can we finesse that so we can understand better how that actual live communication is working? Making sense? Again, that's why I don't generate a whole bunch of script, you know, different fill in the blank scripts here. We can easily find those. It's like, what do we do with that now? And how do we finesse at that higher level? If that makes sense to you, if you understand what I'm talking about, raise your hand. Because I did that really, really quickly. Okay, thank you. I know we got to wrap it up here. Hopefully there was at least one thing here that served you and that will grow your company. If there's not one, I'll eat my hat. Please listen again. This was a really, really rich content call with a lot of questions answered, not just for finding your business plan, but a whole lot of other areas as well. And Mary Kay, please post the question about risk. Because I do have an answer to that, but we're just in terms of time, post it for next time, okay? And if you need the answer to that question sooner, let me know. We're going to end as we always do, one aha, one inspired action. If you've got to go and write down your aha and inspired action for yourself. Jackie, you're in my left corner. So one aha, one inspired action so that we can take, so we know what landed and we take it out into the world. Oh, and you're muted, Jackie. And real quick, just one sentence each.
I'm just going to go back to keeping it simple. Keep this very simple. Get to the point.
Yeah, beautiful. And your action, one check-offable action so you know you're actually doing something in the world about it.
Well, I've got some saddle fitting appointments coming up, so I'll be speaking in front of a group, so to speak, to hone that point.
Yeah, fantastic. Perfect, check-offable, real. Thank you. Yvonne, you're next.
My check-offable will be the booking a date to create my story structure.
Great.
Well, it was so much. I think your sheer statement that one signature talk, you don't have to have 5 or 10 or, you know, just have
one talk.
Yeah.
One talk.
And that you were referring to is called rework.
What?
The book that you were referring to?
Thank you.
It's rework.
Rework. Thank you so much. And yes, that piece about one talk could save you a year's work, could get you so far. Like that one piece could change your world. There were many, many pieces like that on today's call. And that's one of them. That simplicity as well, life changing, right? When you actually implement it. Thank you. Grace, you're up.
keep the focus on others. So purpose and keep the focus on service to others.
Yes, focus on others. And how we do that, there's a whole finesse about that, but that you got that. A lot of speakers miss it. Thank you. And your inspired action, Grace?
I'm going to go to sleep.
Sleep, yes, that's a really great thing to do. Thank you. I love it. Real, very real. Check offable. Barb, you're up.
That the free gift can be the call to action when you can't sell.
Absolutely. And
the action will be to figure out the top of mind problem that they have and be able to word it as a question that becomes a question.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Great work. Yes. Thank you. Carly, you're up.
I like the single domino, that there's a belief in your audience's head that needs to shift. And my inspired action is I'm going to develop a talk. I'm going to keep it simple, thinking about top of mind problems that contractors have.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Real work, moving your company out into the world, taking the next step. Love it. Yes. Dottie, you're up.
I love the wording about why not to do the video. That was helpful for me.
Oh, the wording about why you should do a video. Yes.
Because why you shouldn't allow video.
Oh, yes. The copyright piece, right?
Yes.
Yes. Look at that. See, like, love that. When we've got the top of mind problem, it's like, oh, that hooks me. Yes. Good. And then your inspired action.
Just to not allow it. Now that I've received this warning.
Yes. And yeah, really good. Love it. Thank you, Dottie. Beautiful. All right. Wendy or Jenny, can you speak where you are? If so, unmute and dive in. Jenny.
I would say for me, beginning with the end in mind, because a lot of times I just go and I don't have a goal of what I want them, what I want out of that.
Yeah, fantastic. Crazy important, yes. And then your inspired action.
I think what I need to work on, and this is kind of off subject, is creating a free gift. That's something that I've been thinking about that I need to do. And so I think that is what I'm going to work on.
It's huge, and it's absolutely connected with speaking, because it's a great place to go to with your speaking. Not the direct subject of what we're talking about, but they're absolutely interconnected and crucial for your company, absolutely, for all of us. Have a fantastic, fantastic week. Have a fantastic, I'm not going to see you till the next Practical Applications, enjoy your holidays. Have a beautiful time with friends, family, and may your holidays be blessed. And I look forward to seeing you next time. Keep posting your questions. Post that date for choose that date for your talk and go and do a talk. Do a talk. It doesn't have to be complex. It will, and let it be fun. Let it be fun. All right. Have a great time, everybody. We'll see you on the other side. Bye-bye for now.